we're about to meet, well, somebody who's got a very fascinating book. And we're going to delve through some of the themes of that, although it spans a very long time, so I'm not sure. Well, we definitely won't make our way through it all. But we're in the studio with me is Eva de Jong Duldig, who was just a child when her parents escaped Nazi Austria and made their way via Singapore to Australia. And in her book, Driftwood, Eva tracks this journey and other parts as well about how art influences the family's life and returning some of the family's Viennese art as well. Eva de Jong Duldig, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Warwick.
It's amazing to put your life, and not only your life, your family's life, your parents' life as well, into a story. Was it a difficult thing to do?
It took a long time. It was a 40-year gestation period. I thought about it first after my mother died, and she died in 1975, and she had always encouraged me to write, and also after a long period of looking through the things that were left by her in the house, I discovered so many interesting things that I came to know her and had in my mind, the book must be written.
And a lot of people think that. Sometimes following through is the difficult part, isn't it?
Yes, that's why it took 40 years. But eventually so many things fitted into place. I was able to go back to the places where my parents had lived, and I also, again, met up with people who knew different areas of the history, and eventually it all fitted into place, and fortunately I'm still here to tell the story.
Yeah, so true. And we've got so many things to talk about. As I said on the program earlier, this is a story that covers World War II. It covers the treatment of people interned in Australia. It covers Wimbledon. It covers folding umbrellas. It covers art all the way through it. It's a rich history you have.
It's a rich history, but it really is, could be simplified just to the words love and love and more love, because it was the love of my mother's sister, Rella, who saved everything in Paris through the war that enabled everything to come out to Australia. It was the love of my parents for each other. It was the love of my parents for me. And all these things are part of the way my story evolved and the way the story of my family evolved. And I think also we have to link with that Australia, which welcomed us in such a fantastic way at a time of war. Well, it was a terrible time for everybody, but eventually our family were able to settle again and remake their lives and re-establish, from my parents' point of view, their artistic careers, which was so important to them.
Tell us about your parents. How did they meet?
My parents met in Vienna in the early 1920s. They were students of a very famous Austrian sculptor who really encouraged them and inspired them. And it was his memories of that Austrian period which really carried them all the way through. And they were still introducing the things that they learned in Austria when they came to Australia. And that can be all followed through the book.
And one of the things that fascinated me is just the build-up and the treatment of Jewish people through that period of time must have been a difficult period to live through.
Well, of course, between the wars, my parents didn't have any problems. They were students and they were artists in Vienna. And then, of course, everything changed dramatically 80 years ago in March 1938, when the Nazis annexed Austria, and suddenly life became impossible for Jewish people in Austria and also for many other people.
Your father, Carl, said a game of tennis saved his life.
Yes, tennis really goes right through also. Apart from art and history, there is also this element of sport and tennis, which somehow managed to find its way right through our lives. And it did, as the book says, save our lives.
Would you be so kind to tell us a little bit of that that story and how it meant he left the country at almost a fortuitous time, really, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, I really think everyone should read that part of the book.
For
because
sure.
That's the kind of really the fascinating part of the book. But there's no doubt that if he hadn't been a wonderful sportsman and if he hadn't happened to want to play his sport on a particular occasion and then a particular bizarre incident happened, we would not have left. There was no reason for us to leave.
And what's amazing about that is following through his ability with sport through to you and your life. It's almost one of the reasons you went back to see so much of Europe is being quite an accomplished tennis player yourself.
Well, my father found Australia quite fascinating because he loved the spaces and he loved the fact that there were tennis courts on every corner. And very quickly he encouraged me to play. And, of course, there were many opportunities to play. And not only that, Australia was the very best country in the world as far as tennis was concerned. We had all our great champions. And so immediately I was thrust onto what was really the best tennis in the world. So that was really exciting for me.
But that wasn't just exciting. You wanted more. You had to go and play at Wimbledon.
I was also a teacher. Yeah. And we, of course, didn't get any support. And so I paid for my own way across and I got to Wimbledon. And I thought this is my one chance to play Wimbledon. And I happened to perform really well and got the quarterfinals and third round singles and stuff.
Happened to perform very well. You made the quarterfinals. That's brilliant.
So that was exciting for me. But it's all part of the main story. And the fact that my parents were able to give me that wonderful start here in Australia was something which I think needed to be told.
And you were just a baby when your parents left Austria and then came to Australia via Singapore. What are your earliest memories of that time?
My earliest memory, actually, Warwick, is near where you come from. I was thrust into an internment camp in Tatura. And my first memories are of being a toddler there in internment and looking up at the night sky and sitting on my father's lap admiring the wonderful Milky Way in internment.
And that's amazing because your parents came to Australia through Singapore, but then it came to Australia and were interned. And not many people would know that history. Tatura is where there was a huge community of people effectively imprisoned by Australia during the war times. What was that like?
Well, the book really gives quite detail how we were classified as enemy aliens and how because we were enemy aliens, that means we held German papers even though we were refugees. It explains why and how we ended up in an internment camp and also how eventually we got out.
And in terms of what those periods were like, how did your parents deal with the life of being interned and then ultimately deciding to stay here?
I was very small and it didn't affect me, but I think the adults had a very hard time of it. And, you know, at times like this, you go with the flow. And when my father was able to join the Australian Army in 1942, he grasped that opportunity and eventually Mum and I came down to Melbourne and we restarted our lives.
And of course, you still have some artwork, well, some damaged artwork, I suppose some people would call it, in terms of a beautiful picture in the book of two bronze busts, one that was successful and one wasn't during your father's work for the army. But you've still got a link to that history of him and his time in the army.
We have. The museum, the Dordig Studio in East Malvern, houses not only those works of art which you're mentioning, but also all the amazing works of art that were saved by my aunt Rella in a cellar in Paris during World War II. And I think that's one of the most amazing things that happened. And it's the magic of the book.
You don't have to give away too much. Clearly you don't want to. But in terms of finding that art seeing it again after so many years of it not being part of your family, what is that like when you learn of this artwork that's in a cellar?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, I had shivers in my spine when I first saw it and I really had no idea. It began to give me a clue of what my parents had achieved also what they had lost, because of course they lost their families in the Holocaust, and yet all the furniture and all the works of art and everything else is in the Daldig Studio in East Malvern, which I strongly encourage people to go and visit.
It's certainly, and we'll talk more about that as it goes, but I suppose that moment, that finding it and hearing about it and then getting to touch it, how does that make you feel as somebody who wasn't there when it was created?
Yes, that's an amazing thing to have that happen to me. And I think that somehow I've been very fortunate to be the custodian of all these things and the custodian of the memory as well, and being able in a position to actually document it and tell the story.
You're listening to the voice of Eva de Jong Daldig as we talk about, well, her history, her life story, her parents' story. And as she says, it's one of love here on ABC Radio. We're going to talk more about that and also the theme of art itself here on the program. You can certainly get involved in the conversation as well if you'd like by sending a text. 0437 774 774 is our number if you'd like to speak to us on the program. 0437 774 774. Right now, though, let's have some music. This is called It's a Shame from First Aid Kit.
Shame. Shame.
The first single from First Aid Kit's upcoming fourth album, recorded in Portland, Oregon. FAK, FAK, is sibling duo of Johanna and Clara Soderberg from Sweden. So there you go. Interesting story there. It's a Shame from First Aid Kit here on ABC Radio for summer.
This is Drive on ABC Radio.
We're speaking to Eva de Jong Duldig, who has a book called Driftwood. It's an amazing story. As I said, it starts pre-war in Europe, and it ends up with, well, refugees of the Holocaust really finding their way to Australia via Singapore with their daughter, and also follows the daughter, who is Eva, who went and played at Wimbledon and also discovered a lot of her family's artwork, which was left behind as well. So there's so much to unpack in a story like this, and one of the major themes of it is your family, Eva, is so held together by art, really, isn't it? It's been a huge theme of your life, as well as sport and everything else, but art really pulls everything together.
Yes, that's well perceived, Warwick. I think it was the art and the fact that my parents were so compulsive about pursuing their artistic careers that actually enabled them to keep going, because if you can imagine, at the time of war, you lose everything. You lose your family, you lose your place, you have nowhere to live, you have no money, and yet you still perceive the world in artistic terms, and you want to create and you want the world to be a better place through art. I think that's what saved them, as in mentally and psychologically. I'm sure it helped them.
And even pre-war, was it a difficult time to be an artist? Of course, there was depression and so forth in the economy pre-war as well. It's amazing that people so so into the arts could survive.
Yes, well, they were fortunate. They had the support of their own families before the war, which helped them firstly to study, and then, of course, it also helped them when they were trying to continue their art work in Europe. Before the war, in Vienna in particular, there was very little work for artists, and my father had to resort to stringing rackets in order to actually make some extra money at one point.
So the tennis comes back to the tennis as well. Tennis and art is a big theme of these books. And tell us, we'll start with your father, Carl Duldig. What kind of artist was he?
My father's a sculptor. And my mother also studied sculpture. They actually met at sculpture school. And so he was working in stone and in wood and in bronze. And when he came to Australia, he worked a lot in clay.
And Slava? Is that her?
Slava.
Slava Horowitz Duldig.
Yes.
What kind of artist was she?
She started off as being an oil painter, and then she met Carl at sculpture school. She also did carving. She would be best known for her invention of the foldable umbrella, which took place in 1929.
That's incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah. Literally from walking down the street and deciding there has to be a better way than hulking a big umbrella around.
That's
right. She followed through and created a foldable umbrella. It's an incredible story. And just one of those things that, well, you can't believe somebody invented in the first place.
Yeah.
But it takes that, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, I think she had in mind, look, there must be a better way of doing things than having a big, a huge umbrella which you have to put away. And so she thought, well, it must be possible. And somehow or other, she managed to think it through and actually get royalties and everything else.
Yeah, create the patterns and everything for a foldable umbrella. Was she proud of that?
I think that was the one achievement of which she was very proud, because after she died, I found some notes by her, and it was all about the umbrella, and that was the start of my story, because she said she wanted me to tell her story.
And so it's almost through that achievement that opened your way to an incredible other story as well.
That was her start, and then the other things followed, because once you start investigating, there's always more and more and more.
It's amazing even to think of a female inventor at that time being so forthright and wanting to get the patents and wanting to go through the legal process of creating a product like that.
Yes, I really admire her for that. She was an early feminist, and she had her eyes on design. She had her eyes on art. She had obviously her eyes in practical sense with the umbrella. And I really admire her spirit, because it really was through her that that she managed to hoodwink the Nazis and things at the critical time in 1938, just after I was born. So, you know, she was a very strong-willed and a very capable woman.
It would have been a big thing for her to decide to leave the country with you at such a young age.
Well, it was difficult, to say the least, and no actual guarantee that we would be able to get out of the country at all. None. Just luck.
So you had a very strong-willed mother who was the inventor of the foldable umbrella, and you have a father who's a sculptor. What was their relationship like? What do you remember of that?
Oh, they were extremely compatible artistically, but temperamentally there were always differences. I think that's what happens very often with couples, really, and it's not a bad thing.
Of course, of course. And who do you think you take after most in terms of your personality of those two?
Oh, I wouldn't hazard a guess. I think you'd have to ask my husband.
Brilliant. Well, maybe we can say you're probably the best of both. Is that how you do it? We're speaking to Eva de Jong Duldig about her book Driftwood here on ABC Radio for Summer as we have a look at really the life of quite amazing artists and sports people themselves as they go through. And you mentioned the collection of your family's art now being together and after discovering some of it in a cellar in Paris. What's it like to put it all on display?
Well, when my father died, I had the task of actually deciding what to do, and eventually I decided that everything should be kept intact, and not only kept intact itself but kept intact in our family home in East Malvern. And so I had a major task of renovating and restoring and also extending to make it a public museum and art gallery. It's an incorporated association, and the association is run by an independent board. So basically it belongs to the people of Victoria.
And what's it like for you to see it on display?
Oh, I'm always amazed. And we have some people working there who are really wonderful curators, and at the moment there's an absolutely fantastic exhibition on Slava, on my mother, and it shows the prototypes of the umbrella and also her amazing drawings and paintings from very early in her career till towards the end of her life in 1975, and that's on at the Duldig Studio as we speak.
What's your favourite piece of Slava's work?
Oh, that's such a hard question.
Well, we're going to ask you about Carl next.
there's a sculpture which was done in Vienna in 1926, and it's just in clay, and it's unfired clay, and yet it survived all the years and all the movements, and it's intact in the Duldig Studio, and that amazes me so much.
It was meant to stay together. Really.
Meant to survive and meant to be there. And that's really what's inspired me to keep the collection intact.
And what about of your father's work? What's your favourite there?
My father did an amazing sculpture of a mask in a marble. And he carved that when he was only 19, and it has survived again through all the traumas and which we've spoken about. And it is also on display in the Duldig Studio, and that is the one piece that I think that I would keep if everything had to be destroyed. That would be the one you'd keep.
And this book itself is an extraordinary piece of creativity. What's the response been like to Driftwood?
Well, I've had amazing response from readers, Warwick, and that's been so gratifying. I had a note from a stranger in Canberra who I'd never met, and she wrote in to say how much she'd enjoyed reading the book, and she's now reading it for the second time in case she's missed something, and that she now wants to come down to Melbourne to visit the Duldig Studio. And so that, to me, is really fantastic. That's the kind of response that I think I really appreciate.
Oh, you surely would. And what's it feel like to be an author, to put all of this together?
Well, it had to be done. The story had to be told. And that's kind of, you know, what we really, I was given a task to do, and that's the one I hope I fulfilled properly.
Well, it's an exceptional tale. And as I've mentioned a few times now, it involves people escaping the war, journeying to Australia, being, well, refugees in Australia and what that meant, but also some fantastic art, the rediscovery of that art, a little bit of sport as well. It's a uniquely Australian tale that involves all corners of the globe. And we thank you for coming in and sharing it with us.
www.duldig.org.au.
Of course.
And thank you so much for having me.
Eva de Jong Duldig, it's been lovely talking about this book and also some exceptional lives that have been lived by you and your parents.
Thank you.
Eva de Jong Duldig joining us here on ABC Radio as we discuss her book. It's called Driftwood, Escape and Survival Through Art.